something happened on Monday night at Young Life Club that, for those of you who don't know, Thomas and I are both volunteer leaders in our local Young Life, which means that once a week, we are part of a team that basically throws a party for high school kids. Whoever wants to come, come. We're going to, like, sing pop songs and play stupid games. Somebody's going to give a talk about Jesus. For anybody that's like, oh yeah, what's a Young Life Club? Anyway, everything that we do there is for kids, but undoubtedly there's a moment that's like just a fun little thing for the leaders, just a fun little moment. Like the time that Joe Penley threw a marshmallow at Rob when he was doing announcements and you laughed harder than I've ever seen you laugh.
All of my hardest laughs. And that's not true. Some of my hardest laughs in history have come with Joe. I would say there's like five of them.
Yeah. Or like that the time you guys were in Chicago and there was a,
yeah. The squeaky wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, this past Monday night, there was just a moment that like, it was just for us. And it was, your wife, Maddie, was up giving announcements and she was making an announcement about how like we're going to Young Life camp and it's going to cost a lot of money, but there's jobs that you guys can do for local folks where you can raise some of the money for your camp trip. And she was going through one of the jobs, which was you can go to Maddie's mom's house and shampoo her carpet for her. And then just slightly, softly and under your breath, which you were sitting between Rob and me, you said,
shampoo is better.
I don't know why, but just at that moment in that way, it just was so perfect. And the thing is that like, some of my favorite times laughing with you are when you say something and you get yourself tickled. Mm-hmm. Like where it's kind of like you have this thing of like, that was the perfect timing for that.
Like my wife would, that's one of my wife's favorite. We have some like little inside jokes and pretty much all of them are SpongeBob quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime the word shampoo or conditioner is said, she'll say, do the Billy Madison thing. Just do it. Do it. Please do it. Like, she thinks it's hilarious, even though I don't think she's ever seen the movie.
Oh, God.
She just loves that quote.
It's so funny.
And so when that came up and I said it, and yeah, I just had to do it.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Then last night, for some reason, it came up after we got home from the soccer game, and Christy and Jack and I had gone to the soccer game. We left early. We got back in the house and for some reason somebody said something about conditioner. And so I did the like, conditioner is better. I leave the hair silky and smooth. And Christy started laughing so hard. And she said, you sound like a German baby.
Oh, that movie. Oh man.
Well,
I love that movie.
So this is my thing about that movie. There are certain movies that are like, on their own, they're not great movies, but they're extremely quotable. Like they become better as you quote them.
Say
with people.
Say what you want, man. About it not being a great movie. Golly, I can't believe you said that in my presence.
I'm not saying that about Billy Madison. I'm saying there are movies like that, right?
But so, you wouldn't say it unless you felt that way about it.
No. I was trying to make a point. And you took it to a different place. So here's an example of that. An example of that is Napoleon Dynamite. Like, this is not a great movie.
I would say critics say it's a great movie.
But it gets better as you quote it with people.
Of course.
Like, the first time you watch it, you're like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, but then the fifth time you watch it, you're like, well, this movie's pretty great.
But I think there are other movies that are just great and quotable. Like The Big Lebowski.
Or Dodgeball.
One of...
Why? What makes The Big Lebowski so much better than Dodgeball?
Are you joking?
No. All these things are subjective.
That's true.
Any type of choice, movie choice, right. TV show, it's you're all right. Subjective.
You're exactly right.
And some people pileated woodpecker. Some people
this is what happens when you're hanging out with Thomas.
What?
You're hanging out, you're trying to have a conversation, but then you realize that he's not really hanging out with you. He's just in a space so that he can hear different bird sounds and then call them out.
What? No. That's okay, you don't hear a pileated woodpecker every day. It's the second largest woodpecker in North America.
Like physically largest?
Yes. Well, like the population? First is considered extinct, but it's not. We could get down that rabbit hole another day. But like, you can't tell me. Have you ever seen Dodgeball?
Yes.
Tell me it's not great.
I love Dodgeball. I think it's really
fun. It is
fun.
Hilarious.
I think Vince Vaughn is hilarious. I think Ben Stiller's hilarious.
Fantastic.
Who's the guy that plays the wheelchair-bound Dodgeball? Like, legend.
I know Hank Azaria plays him in the flashback.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, when they flashback and he's making that tutorial movie. Oh, no.
Incredible. Okay, so this is a really good point. Is there something that's objectively bad?
Objectively bad.
Like, you can't have a subjective, there's no way you could subjectively like it, like as far as a movie.
Yeah, of course. I'm trying to...
27 Dresses.
Okay, that's not true. I think it's fantastic.
You liked that movie?
Yeah, I love rom-coms. Especially 2000s rom-coms.
You know it got a 7 on the tomato meter?
Nah, I don't think it got a 7.
It did. Christy and I were at Stir Fry Cafe trying to figure out what movie to go watch when it was in the theaters. And I looked on the tomato meter and it got a 7.
How did you look? There's no way you had an iPhone when that movie came out.
Yeah. Yeah,
that came out in like 07.
No, we did.
Anyways, I think it's fantastic. okay, fantastic's not the right word, but if it was a rom-com that
you're
came
going
out
with 27 Dresses is fantastic.
No, I'm an easy sell. So, not really though. I don't know. That's
you do just enjoy what you're doing. So, what's an actual movie that you just hated? Like, you were just like, that was dumb. And other people loved it.
Oh, okay. I went and saw the Robin Hood that came out a couple years ago with my dad on, like, Thanksgiving. Like, he and I used to just, like...
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, it wasn't good. That was probably the first time my dad and I have ever looked at each other in the middle of a movie and said, we're wasting our time right now.
But, I mean... Sometimes you feel like you're wasting your time at the movie theater anyway.
Well, yeah. Okay. We've already talked about this on here, but I mean, just like, I think Robin Hood as a character is fantastic.
Yeah.
He's like right up my alley, but I don't know what it was about that movie. I just feel like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is Thomas's hot takes on Robin Hood.
The Last Airbender that came out in like 2010. Oh,
that was bad.
It was really bad.
It was bad.
Yeah, that was really, really bad.
It had to be better than 27 Dresses, though.
I don't think so. Think about my childhood.
Yeah.
Mid-2000s rom-coms with two older sisters. I saw them all.
You saw?
And when you're like 12, any movie you see, you're like, oh, this is great. At least in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe every 12-year-old... Maybe there's 12-year-old movie critics out there who are like, no, this thing's terrible.
Yeah, there are times when we've all gathered together to watch a movie, and just halfway through it, Jack just gets up and leaves. Doesn't say a word, just gets up and leaves. Or goes to his room, comes back with a comic book, and sits back down on the couch. Like, well, this is the only thing that's happening tonight. I guess I'll get this comic book out.
I was pretty... I'm not going to say that.
Welcome to Ancient and New. Thomas is going to read us a scripture now. And we're going to talk about it. We're so glad you're here with us.
Yeah, okay, so turn to your Bibles to the book of Leviticus.
turn in your Bibles.
Dust that off.
I love the idea that people are just driving down the road listening to this podcast, and they reach back in the back window of the car and grab their Bible.
Their 4-inch thick leather-bound Bible.
New King James Version.
KJV.
Or what was that neon colored the student Bible from like 1996?
I have a green NIV Discover Bible or Adventure Bible.
Adventure Bible, yeah, that was the one they got.
And honestly, I would say I've used it in the past 2 years because occasionally there's just like a little nugget in there. You're like, did you know the temple of Jerusalem was this many cubits by this many cubits, and it was this many cubits high, and it used this much gold.
It's like, so you just had it for the Bible nugs.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Or I'd be like writing a club talk and I'm like, well, I need something because, have you seen my Bible?
Oh, your Bible.
It's barely, it barely exists.
That thing is ridiculous.
Like, as a weapon, like the book of Ephesians would describe it, it wouldn't really, like if I had to use it in battle.
It would be like if you were in a battle and all you had was like, and all you had was one of those guns that shoots bubbles.
I just like, I think
that's funny. Like people are using actual guns and you have the bubble gun.
Just like a high noon
showdown.
Yeah.
Standoff.
A standoff. All right. Okay. So we're going to be in Leviticus 16. We are coming upon Holy Week. Where we are in the world,
yeah,
and in the Western calendar, so and just in calendars in general, so we're getting close.
Yes,
and
this Sunday is Palm Sunday.
Yeah, it's Palm Sunday, but I was reading this yesterday, and I just it's such an interesting little, and I'm mostly showing that some people listening to this are. You can just skip over this because you know the story. I would imagine that there's some people who have never heard this.
Well, I love that we're in the book of Leviticus. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm drinking from a Scott's Tots mug. So you have to cringe every time you take a sip.
Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make our dreams come true. That was maybe the cringiest episode of that show.
Yeah, there's a run there that's pretty...
Pretty tough to watch.
Pretty cringy. Yeah, the dinner party's pretty rough. All right, here we go. I'm going to be in chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 6. I'm going to bounce down to verse 15, and I'm going to bounce down to verse 20. Cool. So I'm going to skip around a little bit, but...
Is there any lead up? Like, you want to let us know what's going on at all?
Okay, yeah, thanks for doing that. This is describing what the high priest is to do on the Day of Atonement. In this case, it was Aaron. So the Lord is telling Moses all these things. The Day of Atonement would be the day that the high priest goes to pay for all the sins of Israel, which is... Yeah. Crazy to think about. I think it's like the 10th day of the 7th month, or the 7th day of the 10th month that right. This is supposed to happen in.
One day a year
that everything is paid for. And there's like a very specific way to do it. And he has to get it right for it to happen. So
it's amazing.
The people of Israel at the time were reliant on the high priest getting this right for their sin to be paid for. And it's just, there's just a lot of really cool things in this.
Yeah.
Your dog's like freaking out on us right now.
She's sneezed a couple times. She's really, she hasn't read Leviticus in a long time, so she's pretty excited.
She's pretty excited. She's lounging like a child ready to hear a cool story. Like that's the only way to describe
she
this.
She is.
All right, here we go. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin. Offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. I'm going to go down to verse 15. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sin shall be, has been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Moving on to verse 20. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Okay.
Wow.
That's what I was going to share.
It's super interesting. A couple of things about this. One, that, like you were saying before you started reading, like, everybody would be gathered outside the temple like, or the tent of meeting at this time before the temple was built, and like waiting, like with bated breath, like, did he do it? Did he do it right? What if he drops dead in there? Like they would, that it's said that they would like tie a rope around his ankle in case he died while he was back in the most holy place, so they could pull him out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and he had to do everything just so, like there's like these, there's specific requirements. Like he would have to take some of the blood and put it on his like right big toe in his sandals and his right thumb and his right earlobe. Mm. And you're like, what is happening? And it's like, he just like, it took the death of an innocent to pay for his sin. And so he had to have blood from his, like from his head to his toes, like of the one who was paying for him. And it's like, he had to do it. It had to be this specific way. And they were counting on him to do it. And that, that picture of Jesus of like, there's something we needed him to do for us. And it had to be him. It had to be one time. It had to be in this specific way. And it had to be right. Yeah. And if he didn't do it, then we're hosed, kind of thing. And it's like, and then the picture of the goats, and it's just like that there's a goat that like dies for the sin of the nation. There's a goat that takes all the sin and carries it away so that the people don't have it in, on them anymore. It's like so many amazing pictures.
Mm. Yeah. I just, the scapegoat thing is the thing that gets me. And I don't even know how it works. I don't know how you put all the sin of a nation on the head of a goat. I don't know what the, I don't know how all that works.
Yeah.
But you zoom out and you think about it and you're like, wow, like, yeah, I don't know how that worked in the transaction really between Jesus and us. There's such a cool image of that. Like, and there's a thing thinking about this that the Israelites got to witness every year up close and personal, you know, firsthand. And there's a tangible experience of that that is so cool. They just got to watch this happen and they waited for it expectantly. Yeah. And they got to see, like, and I don't know if they got to watch whoever this guy was who would be chosen to, like, I guess, like, put, like, a leash on the goat and, like, walk off in the wilderness and just let it go. But, like, I imagine, like, what a relief that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a cheer. I don't know if there was a sadness going on. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if they, like, had, like, a student section. I don't, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what all was going on in their hearts at the time of that. But it's, like, you're watching this goat wander off into the wilderness and it's, you don't know what happens to him after that guy lets him go. It's like, most likely it didn't last super long because goats need, like, they needed a lot to be protected. But like, right. I keep thinking of being someone in that community at the time and witnessing that. And then having like a camera roll going on of your past year of like, oh crap, there goes that one. There goes that other one.
Yeah.
They're gone. Okay.
And it's like, the physical picture of like, all my sin has been transferred on this animal's head and it's literally walking away from my community. Mm-hmm. It's gone. It's over.
Yeah. It's
never to be heard from again.
Yeah. It's never going to be heard from again. It's not like your dog Yoshi who could smell her way back. It's a goat. But, I found myself this time of year, almost every year, longing for, I don't know what it is necessarily. I think it's just comes from being someone who grows up in the church, who grew up in the church in the Southeast United States. That's like Easter is just, it's just that thing every year where we, and like, I'm really diminishing it right now. But I'm talking about from my experience, like, it's the time of year where we remember the death of Jesus and how he paid for our sins. And like when you grew up in a frankly, it's the Southern Baptist Church in the Southeast, like,
yeah.
you, you just kind of get used to it, I guess. And I think every year I long for like a fresh experience with it, which is, it's so funny to say that at 28 or whatever, but I think this year it's been like or in the past week, I guess, since I've read this, it's been an interesting practice for me to like teleport myself back there and think about that. And then just to have a moment of like, wait, we don't have this experience. That makes me so grateful. Like, I'm not reliant on some, you know, a guy that's been appointed to do this for me. Like, but I am, and I have been reliant on Jesus doing this for me.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, man, like, that is, my, you know, as far as the East is from the West, he's taken my sin from me. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it's such a cool thing that for me to have thought about to like recenter on this year, because I feel like every year I've been like in my adult life, I've longed for some experience that I'm not having or whatever. And it's sure. just something that's probably been made up culturally. But like, I feel such a sense of gratitude this year for the death of Jesus. And I feel like I've been studying it a lot and learning about atonement, propitiation, and like all these big words, and just
yeah.
thinking about and looking at this and what the Israelites had to go through and what they had to experience for this to happen for them, and versus what I had to do, which is like so dirt simple. The Lord, the new covenant is just like, it's such a gift, and we talk about it as a gift all the time, but like, I've been so grateful for it being a gift this year versus being reliant on the high priest doing all these things in order for me to be sin free. And then it having to happen a year, you know, yeah, I'm rambling right now, but I'm like a stream of consciousness, just like an open stream of consciousness of all my thoughts, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you're saying, having to get something right on a specific day every single year, and there being like a sense of tension about yeah. that, and then release, like when they get it and do it, it's like there's something incredible about that experience that has to be like when you have the release of like, whew, okay, it's, he did it, you know? But for us, it's like the book of Hebrews says, he did it once for all.
Yeah.
And also like when the book of Hebrews talks, like makes reference to the scapegoat thing, he talks, like whoever wrote that book talks about how, like the scapegoat went outside the city, you know, yeah. outside the city gates, like you're gone, you're out there. Yeah. And he said, and they said, and Jesus carried our sins outside the city gate.
Yeah.
And it's like the thought of Jesus, like literally carrying the beam for his cross through the streets of Jerusalem and then outside the city gate and down to the dump where they crucified him. It's like, it's just so, I mean, that you realize that whole scapegoat thing was just to give us that picture for that moment, you know? And that is such a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 9 is, it's just such a crazy cool, can I just read it?
Yes, please do.
He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Mm.
I love the cleansing of the conscience.
Yeah.
That is so specific and it's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the, like, he makes the jump there, that how much more than with the blood of Christ, you know, like just like,
yeah,
this thing, this was what it was. And like, you know, he's writing this, who, the author of Hebrews is writing this to people who would know the yeah. story extremely well
yeah.
and, you know, would have practiced it in some yeah. way. And like,
who had a Day of Atonement celebration exactly. every year.
Yeah. And they would, it would have made total sense for them to like think about the Day of Atonement. And then for the authors to say, like, guys, listen, yeah. How much greater is this? Like, you know, the thing y'all were supposed to do all along that you never possibly could do, you never did. Well, Jesus did it.
Yeah.
And then somehow, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, like, he became sin. And he paid the price for it. Like, he became it. The one who knew no sin became sin.
Yeah.
Because we never could do it.
Like, I think about that specific thing you read in Leviticus 16 about how they, like, he would put his hands on the head of the goat and transfer the sin, you know?
Yeah.
There's a place before Jesus gets crucified where, like, the religious leaders are talking about it and arguing and plotting and everything. And the high priest says, don't you see it would be a good thing for this man to die for all the people?
Mm-hmm.
And then the author says he didn't realize it, but as high priest that year, he was prophesying that Jesus would die for the nation. And then, like, they didn't lay their hands on him and transfer the sin. They threw punches at him.
Yeah.
And they slapped him, but their hands were on his head. Mm-hmm. And he took all the sin, and then he marched it out of the city, and then he gave his blood for it, and then he went into the most holy place.
Right.
The book of Hebrews says not the copy that we built on earth, not the temple or the tabernacle, but like the tent of meeting, but like the actual one that the pattern was patterned after in heaven. Tom said a thing this week and this past Sunday morning in his message, and I'm going to read this verse from Galatians 2, just really just going along with what you're saying, because I think this all fits together so beautifully. But he said, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the very end of Galatians chapter 2. But Tom was quoting, he quoted that verse and said, he said, when, like, the death of Jesus was global in the sense of, like, he paid for sin, you know? But he said it was also, like, specific, like, he specifically paid for you.
Hmm.
He gave himself for you, for me. And then Tom said this beautiful thing that's been on my mind the entire week since then, which is, he said, anytime you, like, if you go to somebody's house and they have a cross on the wall, you can look at the cross and you can think in that very moment, just you can think in your mind and your heart, he did that for me specifically. He specifically paid for me. Anytime you see a cross necklace around somebody's neck, you can look at that cross and think, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That was personal for me.
Yeah.
It's like the Day of Atonement was a picture of, like, blood being sprinkled behind the curtain where no one could go in the presence of God to pay for sin. And it's like Jesus gave his blood specifically. The curtain was torn. He gave the sacrifice. He carried the sin outside the city like the scapegoat. Like, and all of that was specific and completely for me. And that is such, it's so kind and it's so true and it's so good. And that encouragement, specifically from Tom, of like, you should think about this as a specific thing for you every single time you encounter a cross. We were sitting at our club meeting at the, our pre-club meeting on Monday night before you said the shampoo is better thing. And, the room where we meet, there was a little wooden cross on one of the walls. We're in the middle of our pre-club meeting, and I saw that wooden cross, and the first thing I thought was, it was for me.
Mm.
Like, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm-hmm.
And to think, like, for centuries, every single year, they would do the Day of Atonement, and that whole thing was pointing to what Jesus would do, and it was, like, to condition people's brains to be able to think about that and get ready for it and to realize, like, this is happening. And then to think that whole system, hundreds of years, all the preparation, all the everything. And it was specifically for you, for Thomas, for me, for Lee, for you, whoever's listening to this. Like, it was that specific. I don't know if Ben Stiller listens to it, but like, it would be for Ben Stiller. It would be for Vince Vaughn. I'm pretty sure Vince Vaughn doesn't listen to this podcast.
He may. But I did, like, okay, going back to that, just thinking about how it was for me, I think we really don't think about that enough.
Mm-mm.
When you hear that statement, the first thing I think of is like, golly, there are so many things I care about in this world that when I think about that, it just throws them all out the window. I'm like, I spend a lot of time on things that just don't matter. Like, Jesus paid for me. I was worth dying for.
Or like, can I cut you up? You just made me think of something, sure. Which is, excuse me for interrupting.
Sorry for interrupting.
That's what Potsy says. You just made me think of something, which is like when a team wins, like, you know, a team wins the national championship and somebody puts a mic in a guy's hands that, you know, a quarterback, point guard, a pitcher, whatever. And then they say like, hey, we just wanted to do this for the city and for these fans. It was for you. It was for the fans. And it's like, I guess, but you don't know me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not in your mind when you are up, like taking a swing with the bat, you're at bat. You're not like nobody on the Tennessee baseball team as they're just raking everybody.
Yeah.
Like everybody. Nobody is thinking of like University of Tennessee alum Thomas Cox.
Right.
As he's getting ready as he's getting ready to swing the bat, you know? Like nobody.
Or their parents. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, or their family. Like, I mean, as a former athlete,
yeah,
my parents never crossed my mind one time on a baseball field unless I needed something. And like, that's not, you know, they wouldn't hear that and be offended. They would just be like, well, duh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I need a Gatorade. All right. I'm going to ask my dad after this inning.
Can you grab a hot dog as well?
Can you grab me a hot dog? Grab me a Snickers. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, everyone who's ever played a sport is... can agree with that.
But they say that thing after, right. Like, we did this for the city and for the fans. It's like, maybe, I mean, like in some like, you know, like squint and see the state of Tennessee.
Maybe
as
during
a whole.
Like spring training, your manager brought up one time in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like, the city of Atlanta is relying on us.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Like, right. Sure. But like none of the Braves
for
thought of, you know, of you, Thomas Cox, Braves fan.
Right.
When they were swinging the bat of, but like.
Freddie Freeman sure didn't when he went to LA.
Wow.
If he would have, he wouldn't have done that.
There's no way Freddie listens to the show. I hope not because.
He should.
Like the thing is if we drag on somebody on this show, they have no way to respond to it. You know?
Yeah.
They have no, like, they don't get to have
We can't
say.
Close the door yet. I need you to keep unpacking what you're doing, but we'll
okay,
come back.
Okay, so fold they them. Don't, yeah, they don't think that. When they say right. This was for the city of Atlanta, none of the Braves were actually thinking of any Atlanteans, much less all the fans. But when Jesus was being tortured, like when he was being mocked, when he was being spat on, arrested, like accused, and literally killed, executed. He was actually doing that for me personally. Mm-hmm. Like, and for everybody that has faith in his name. But like, and that's the infinite mind and heart of Christ. But like, you were actually on his mind. Like, this, it was that personal. And that is trippy. And I know we right. say stuff like that, but if you give yourself time to really, really think about it, it does lead to the gratitude what you were talking about. And I think it also just leads to the fact that, like, exactly what you were saying, I don't consider this that specifically enough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... Sadly, I think that has become a circumstantial thing. I think there's people around the world who think about it a lot.
Sure.
I don't think as a culture we do, and I think we should.
Yeah,
it's just easy.
it's easy sometimes not to, because, you know, we just do our thing every day. We have our homes, we've got our food, we've got our jobs, we've got all those things that are, you know, whether we would say it or not. I don't know. It's just, that's just my thought about that. And I'm coming to that from an angle of, I become better at that the older I get, not as someone who's good at it.
Yeah. Or just as a, for me, it's just like, okay, well let's do it this week. Let's just consider it. Let's do it on purpose. It's been such a sweet thing to every time I see a cross to think that was for me because the Son of God loved me. Yeah.
That's it.
We can close the door now, right?
Oh yeah. No one, I mean, we can do whatever we want because we have the mics.
That's the thing. I mean, when you're holding the mic, you can say things like, you know, boy, I'm sure glad I wasn't a basketball fan of Kentucky this year, you know?
I saw a thing the other day that said SEC football program trend patterns.
Yeah.
My team in orange was on the up and up.
Wow.
Little brother to the north was on the down and down. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been HNN.
I could pick 100 pockets, put your picture in a locket, hold open every door or slam them in your face. I could put it on the table, flick the finger in the middle. I could show you I'm unstable or offer up some grace. But not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. No, not with these hands, not with these hands. No, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I could hail down a taxi, touch your arm in the backseat. I could point out exactly where you wanna go. I could comfort you in sadness or enable you to madness. I could teach the master class on pissing people off. But not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. No, not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I'm not I'm not done yet, unless you're having fun. I'm not done yet, are you having fun?